got perspective, we got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright! We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright! We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight!
Hello and welcome to episode 183 of
I'm hosting.
You are.
I'm hosting. That's You're right, hosting next week. Ember, cut that out. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 183 of Geek Grills. I am Linda. I'm hosting today, and I'm joined by my cat is being wiggly. Get out of my lap, Zen. Okay. I'm hosting today. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ember.
Hi.
Who tried to take over the show today. And Ray.
Hello.
What can I say? It's Appreciated Dragon Day, so I can understand why. So that will be our topic. We'll get to our favorite dragons. We'll appreciate them. We'll tell you all the nifty things. It's kind of similar to the, you know, our favorite magical creatures kind of show, but specifically dragons. And you know I love me some dragons. Got my little dice dragon buddy with me.
Aww.
So what have you girls been up to?
Well, let me see. We some prepared garden beds over here at the McCready household. More. And started some seeds indoors in those itty-bitty peat pot pellet greenhouses. So I'm excited getting ready for that again. So much food. Like, I almost want to make more beds, except then there's the maintaining the garden. And, well, I don't want it to get out of hand. But I want more foods. I want all the foods. I experimented with a falafel recipe this week, which I love falafel so much. And the mix I used to buy, like the box stuff that you just add water, I can't find anymore. And I've tried like other brands and they've all been terrible. So I mean, this can't be hard, right? So it's freaking chickpeas. And I have falafel seasoning from one of my favorite Middle Eastern places. It also has like a little market attached. So I decided to make it. And somebody online in one of my cooking groups, gave me a recipe that's like an easy starter thing. And I tweaked it with the seasonings I had. And it went pretty well. I'm trying to modify it it's a vegan recipe. I'm trying to modify it to also be gluten-free. Because it's got like a little bit of flour in it, but I don't have garbanzo flour. But the recipe just uses regular flour. But if I'm going making a vegan recipe to begin with, I may as well make it so that my friends who are gluten intolerant can also have it. Because I seem to have a pile of those people. And then I tried modifying it today using rice flour, and that didn't work. It's a texture issue, and I'm seeking a better solution. I might have to just buckle down and go ahead and get the garbanzo flour. Other than that,
almond flour?
Tasted great.
Almond flour?
I'm worried that would make it sweet, or the nuttiness would overcome some of the other spicing.
Fair.
When you fry it.
I'm trying to remember, there's a flour that you use with like, they're like this Brazilian.
Oh, tapioca flour.
Yeah, tapioca flour. I think that might also have a texture issue just because the tapioca flour tends to make things very, well, kind of glutinous. It's very chewy.
Yeah. And see, the problem I had the first batch was it was fine, except I didn't put enough flour in. When I made the first one, I just straight used the recipe except for the seasoning change. And the inside, I didn't put enough flour, so it was kind of bean. It didn't get any fluffiness to it, and it does need that little bit of rise. So I'm looking for a better solution. And the rice flour didn't work. There's not enough liquid in the mix to hydrate it enough. And it just kind of was falling apart. But then I added like 2 tablespoons of regular flour and it held together fine. So I'll keep experimenting. I don't want to buy just gluten-free flour, like a wheat that's been processed. I figure there's got to be a better solution. And I've tapped one of my GF friends to help me with that. And, you know, I'll keep you posted because it's delicious. I mean, the seasoning and everything else in that recipe. And, well, the seasoning I have added to the proportions in the other recipe with the fresh herbs was really good. So, what else? I've been playing WoW. I'm at level 55 now. Been getting that sweet, sweet rested XP when we shut down in the evenings. Played some of our Nomad in Cyberpunk 2077 today. It's a little hard. Rob plays it more than I do. He just kind of does side quests with his own guy. And then he gets in and we're picking our perks and everything. And I'm like, this isn't your character. We're doing something different. No, wait. Like, I want this spec. But it's fun. Rob got his 3D printer going and has been making the things. And today was, like, super exciting because, well, he went a little nuts the other night. We were talking about all the things we want to make, right? And he ordered a bunch of filament. So we got, like, Amazon guy delivered, like, two things of filament today. One is wood filament, I didn't know exists. And it actually has wood fiber in it. Like, you can wood burn it. So I'm pretty excited about that. And the other is black, because black is just basic. But a while ago, he got this stuff. It's like marble-ish, like white with a little black in it. So today, well, it took 27 hours, he printed this dice tower.
Neat!
That's awesome! So cool.
And I'm amazed at the magic of the dice tower. It's got a little gate in the front. It's got a working hinge that you didn't have to assemble or anything. Like, you just cut the little thing off the bottom, like the plate it was on so it didn't stick. And then the little door, the hinge works. So I don't know how you print that, but it did and it worked. And before the show, we ran over to our friend Bruce, who has been our DM in the past for long periods of time, and gave him his dice tower. And now, well, I'll talk about what I'm looking forward to because something's printing for me right now.
Before you say the next thing, I will say your camera has frozen on the picture of the dice tower. I mean, it's a good picture of the dice tower, but that's all it can see.
Well, then it doesn't help me with the next picture. But, you know, that's how that goes. I also got today a book in the mail. It's Whispering Oaks Academy, The Door to Anywhere by Daniel L. Berger. And the special thing about this book, it looks really interesting and everything, but this is my son's English teacher.
Oh, neat.
Wrote this book. And it looks like it's going to be really cool. And I'll let everybody know. It's some kind of like... It's like fantasy, mystery, high-tech gadgets, but it's set in, you know, a school, and I'm really looking forward to that. I took it the package in my son's room this when it arrived. I said, you want brownie points? You should probably read this. He opens up, he's like, oh, I heard about this. I'm like, it looks like it's good. Just read it. Like... That's a cool teacher. Like, he podcasts and stuff too. Like, come on. So, what have you been up to, Ray?
Nothing much. Well, no, that's a lie. I've actually, like, had a bunch of projects I started. So I'm working on a Sailor Moon punk vest. My studs have not shown up, but I was able to pick up fabric paint yesterday.
It looks so good. It looks professional, Ray.
I don't know. It looks a little better now. Apparently the puffiness of the paint has gone down, but it still has like weird bubbly texture that I hate with fabric paint. It's just me. Like, even my husband is like, it looks fine from like as soon as I get like 5 feet of distance. And I'm like, okay, I'll let it go.
Have you ever tried doing what I've been doing, like getting the medium and mixing it with acrylic instead of buying fabric paint? Because I do think fabric paint, Whenever I've gotten that, it tends to be puffy.
I thought of that after, so I might try and do, because I haven't finished the moon part. I want to get that fuller. So I might go ahead and try that. I just also, the paint that I got reacts to glow, it glows in the dark. So I'm also like, I don't want to mix it too much and lose that effect. The other thing is I started a, just like as a relaxing thing, because like the first thing I ever learned how to draw was like animals. Not people, even though I draw a ton of people now. So I started working on a pet portrait for my friend Amy, who is a huge David Bowie fan and has named her pets Ziggy and Rebel for Rebel Rebel. So I did the Ziggy one last year.
I love
So I'm
it.
doing the companion piece, and Rebel is not done yet. I just got the basic color blocking in, obviously. But he has a patch, or he's going to have a very distinguished patch, not just one eye, I promise. And then, yeah, the only other one is the dragon that I started for lunch. Cute. It's a little chibi Ysera from WoW.
Yay.
It was my favorite WoW dragon. I think that's it. We managed to watch, we binged Queen's Gambit over the weekend, which is really, really good. Like, Scott was watching it and I was listening to it because the TV's like right next to me. And I'm like, there's just points where I'm like, I'm going to stop playing WoW and I'm just going to sit over here and watch. Seems way more interesting than doing what I was doing in WoW. So, and then, yeah, I was playing WoW. I have my alt is up to 55. So I'm trying to get her up to 60 now. That way I'll have one horde and one alliance. And then I think that's it. Oh, Monster Prom. I finally got another achievement unlocked. Which means I'm one step closer to getting the achievement where it tells me to go outside and stop playing the game. Which is what I'm really waiting for. That's it. How about you, Linda?
I'm working more on the baby blanket that I started last week. I've got about 5 strips now, 5 of 14, because then they'll all get put together. It's turning out really pretty. It's this really pretty, like, pale pink and pale green, and it's like it got a cream in there, and it's not. I know, no kitty. I know that she's gonna have a baby girl, but it's not like specifically girl colors. It's kind of both, and I prefer that. And she really liked the colors when I showed them to her, so no problems there. The fight with the wing back chair for reupholstery continues.
Uh-oh.
It's still in the demo stages. I've gotten the back off of it. My husband actually joined me for a bit and was like helping me get tacks out. There's so many holes. I'm
Oh.
gonna have to put wood filler in it. It's like it's gonna be held together with wood filler. I'm just gonna have to like sand it and restain it or paint it or something. And I now have upholstery conspiracy theories going on in my head because, as you know, my mother listens to our podcast. And she said, well, first she was like, I want some of those cat macaron toys. And I was like, okay. And she said, you know, you have upholstery like in your bloodline, right? Because your great grandfather had an upholstery shop. And I was like, really? Because she still has like his upholstery hammer that is made out of leather instead of like wood or metal. And I'm like, and he had it apparently in the 60s. And I'm like, this chair is from the 60s. What if it was put together by him and I am now taking it apart? I'm just like, it would make sense because the way that my father puts things together, he puts in way more nails or way more glue or way more tape than it needs. And I'm like, it could run in the family. There's too many tacks. I'm
Kind
just
of like you stitch too tight, is that?
and I stitch too tight, and I put in way too many stitches for when I'm making costuming, and I like go over it more than I need to. So that's what's happening in my brain. It's still going, but I'm like it, and I fig we figured out like with all of the number of tacks and with how the cushion has been made, it's literally somebody took two pieces of fabric, sewed channels into it, and then stuffed it. And I'm like, this was handmade. This chair and these cushions were like handmade. So I'm just gonna go to Joann's and get a regular cushion and just have a flat back. I don't care about the ridges anymore. That is just, it is too much. I'm not gonna take it and do channels and stuff them. No. One piece of foam is gonna do me. It's like, oh my God. So that's going. I played some more House Flipper. Just because it's kind of a chill, like, it's a chill game. So it's just like, yay, House Flipper. Woo! It's so easy to flip a house. It's so easy to do these repair projects.
I might need your assistance for a real one. No, I'm kidding.
Only if I can paint as easily as I can in the game. And I don't think I can. I made some oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. It turned out real good. It was a box mix, but I got it when the world market that's near us was going out of business like a couple of weeks ago. So we'll probably never have them again because I don't know where to buy that box mix from, and I don't even remember what it was called, and I threw the box away. But they're good. Good cookies.
All go out of business? Like the company as a whole?
I don't think so. I think it was just the one near us.
Okay.
But I don't know where another one is.
Well,
World
there's
Market? We've
one
got one
down
here.
by the mall, and then there's the one off 41.
Is the one off 41 closed?
Yeah, because that's the one I went that I never made it out to. I should have.
Which is hilarious. I got there on like the last day. They literally had three like bookshelves left of things. And there was just like four or five of us circling it like a shark.
Deals, deals.
Jesus. Let's see. I ran. Well, not, it wasn't randomly, but I rewatched Frozen 2 because I happened in my scrolling around on YouTube, I found a couple of videos that were like analyzing the musical themes in Frozen 2. This is done by the videos are by Howard Ho, and. I was intrigued. I was like, oh, hey, I really like this. And he gets super nerdy and it's all music theory and like going into the chord structure, but then he explains it and I watched it, rewatched it, and I was just listening kind of to the soundtrack going, oh, look, there's that theme there, that's that theme here, they've tied this together here. Oh, look, that's from the first movie. So I was just being a giant music nerd while I was rewatching Frozen 2. But what that has led to is I am now in the planning stages for a Queen Iduna cosplay. Because that's exactly what I need is another cosplay to work on.
Never enough.
Never enough. I only have three others that I want to do for the next conventions that I go to.
Oh
What's
boy.
one more?
No big deal.
Make it up for lost time.
I guess. So with that, we're gonna go ahead and get into our topic today, which it is Appreciate a Dragon Day. I do believe today is the actual day for us when we're recording on the 18th, so it'll be a couple days after, but you can always appreciate a dragon, yes. So we just kind of decided that we're gonna like pick our favorite dragons and then kind of go into why they're our favorites. Let me see. Hold on. Let me open the actual Appreciated Dragon Day thing. Appreciated Dragon Day began when Danita K. Paul wanted to celebrate the publishing of her first fantasy novel, Dragonspell, part of the 5-volume series, the Dragonkeeper Chronicles. So this was made up, I think, quite recently. But you know what? It's fine. So was a Pi Day. So
But dragons have been around for like long, long ever. time.
Oh yeah, there's tons of one of the best kind of like YouTube videos I've seen about like dragon lore is by Overly Sarcastic Productions, and she's like, I cannot even begin to scratch the surface because dragon doesn't even mean like scales and wings. Dragon can be a whole host of different things, but it's very it's intriguing about how she's explaining why dragons are such a big part of mythology and how like every mythology has some thing referred to as a dragon. Like almost every mythology, I think, has something. So who wants to start with their favorite dragon? I mean, I can start, but...
Ray, why don't you start? I'm posting links in
yeah.
the chat.
Yeah, I can start. I already drew little chibi Asura there, who's a dragon in WoW. She actually has, in the last expansion, like, she's always kind of been there, but the last expansion, she gets a... Maybe the one before that, it might be Legion and not Battle for Azeroth. Yeah, I think it's Legion. She has a nice storyline that kind of wraps her up, and it's like the cinematic for it is absolutely gorgeous with her like raising into the sky with the moon. She's a whole moon motif, so you know that's why she's my favorite. and it's just like one of those things that I absolutely adore. And so... Yeah, and wow, like dragons are a big thing. Like there's like I think there's five of them, and they were there when the world was created, and they're a big deal. So she's my favorite. And I think she's one of the younger ones actually. I'm trying to pull it up, and I think she was also in classic, like the one that was sleeping too, yeah. that you could find in Duskwood. Like if you went into the crater. There was a portal that was supposed to take you to the Emerald Dream, but you couldn't go there because nobody could go to the Emerald Dream, especially in Classics. That wasn't open yet. but I think that, yeah, that was Ysera in the Dragonblight sleeping. Ha! I was right. Okay. But yeah, that's my favorite WoW one, but like hands down, my favorite one of all time is Falkor, the Luck Dragon from Neverending Story, because of course he is.
Of course.
That is like one of my favorite movies, so I still will rewatch that movie.
I think 80s and 90s, like specifically I think 80s babies, that may have been like their introduction to dragons was Falkor because of that movie.
Oh yeah, like I remember that movie. Mm-hmm. Like I don't really remember, like I remember bits of Legend and bits of Dark Crystal. Like I've rewatched Dark Crystal and Legend mm-hmm. since, so I have a better, but like I remember bits of them from my childhood, but like vivid memories of Neverending Story. And just like mm-hmm. this beautiful, and it was fuzzy. And it never dawned on me before, dragons could be fuzzy and soft. And I'm like, I want to ride Falkor around. I want to be like Sebastian and be like, yeah! So that is hands down my favorite. And they're just so fluffy and looks like a big old puppy. And he's mm-hmm. awesome.
Of course.
That's all I got. Like, I can fan over it. Like, at some point I would love to go to, I think in Germany they have the set still from the Neverending Story. Along with like part of Falkor that you could see, and I'm like, but that requires me going abroad, so that's probably gonna be a bit.
Yeah,
I can't do it right now.
Oh, definitely not right now.
No,
American, turn around.
Go back.
It was really hard. Who's your favorite dragon? Because there's so much. I was like, well, I mean, I kind of really want to go to Calicos, which is it's another WoW dragon, but they really did with the different aspects of the kind of the whole spiritual circle realms in WoW. They did these amazing origin stories for them, and I love Ysera too. Oh my god, when Ysera died, I was like weeping, and that whole storyline. But I think my attachment with Calicos who was like Jaina's boyfriend for a while. I would say I first got hooked on dragons reading the Dragonlance novels when I was in like high school or just after. And I never got into like the D&D, the chromatic dragons being all like bad and or the being good and the colored ones being bad, but it was really interesting the different having different breath weapons and such based on color was very interesting to me. And that's something in the WoW, like they have different abilities that are based in the color, but the Kryn dragons in Dragonlance did have a human aspect. And dragons are so often portrayed as having intelligence, right? They're beasts and they have hordes and they live in caves and, voracious appetites and whatever. But they're very often portrayed as some kind of intelligence and are used to represent spiritual growth and all that kind of thing. So that kind of always grabbed me. So Calicos, and I've always had a thing for blue-haired anime. Blue-haired anime people, like, whew, I don't know. So his being in touch, like, with his and living in his human body so much, I think, really made me grabbed by that story from a dragon. Like, it's like that humbling trope of someone choosing mortality type situation, for love and to like live in the bounds of a human body is it's super super interesting to me. Although I love Toothless from How to Train a Dragon because my cat Bagheera, I have a Russian blue cat and it's we so it's the movies came out we're like oh my God it's Bagheera.
It's a cat in dragon form. Woohoo!
And I did want to mention, I've talked about this briefly on the show before. I don't know how it came up, but I wanted to make sure to mention, because I think it's super, super interesting about Krakow, Poland. Do you guys remember me talking about this before? Like, Krakow, there's a lot of different stories about how it was named, but they all have a dragon in them. There's like a whole bunch of different stories, but what they all have in common is they all involved a dragon. And I'll put in our notes, and I'll put in the chat now, a really cool story from Atlas Obscura about Walwell Dragon's Den. This cave has been like it's housed a dragon, a brothel, and an enduring legend. But it tells like the different stories about how Krakow was supposedly named that involves dragons. And I have a friend who had like been there. It was one of his destinations when he was in Poland. Like, I have to see that cave because they put like. It's a tourist attraction. They have a dragon statue there and stuff. So I want to go there someday when we can travel again and see dragon origin places.
Yes.
So how about you, Linda?
Well, so I the first time I got like into like dragon stuff as actually the Dragon Riders of Pern, because my mom had a bunch of those books while I was growing up, and I love the so much I love the books so much so that the very first like proto fan fiction I ever wrote was about Dragon Riders of Pern. It was awful. I remember very distinctly, like, so it had something to do with eggs falling into the sea. It was bad. Anyway, but growing up, most of the dragons that I like knew about in either fiction or folklore were like the Western dragons, and a lot of Western dragons get a bad rap. Because a lot of Western dragons are like bad. But then like Miyazaki came out with Spirited Away, and Haku is my favorite dragon, because he's just it's he's he also looks kind of fluffy, but I think it's supposed to be scales, but he does have like the flowy, like fluffy hair, and also turns into a cute boy, so that's a plus. But it's just I really like his kind of story and character arc. in the movie. And so it's not just like character design, because the character design is very cool. I really like the kind of Asian dragon design anyway, where it's just kind of like a snaky body. There's no wings. They just kind of fly like they're going through swimming through water. And they did that really awesomely because it's, it's Studio Ghibli. And so it's a gorgeous movie. And it's just him like remembering that he in the Japanese version, remembering that he's actually a god of this river that, spoilers, I guess, that was like drained, and like getting his memories back and just kind of like growing into his strengths, I guess. And I just he's so such a cinnamon bun. I love the cinnamon bun dragon. And it's just, yeah, it's a combination of like the character arc and also the character design. And I guess I did see Dragon Ball like before I saw Spirited Away, so I was familiar with like the big kind of, once you get through the 8 million episodes to where they actually summon the wish
I
dragon
was gonna
and
ask,
you
is there
get
actually
to
Dragon Ball dragons in Dragon Ball Z? I didn't even know that. I've never watched
yeah,
that.
you get all the
There
Dragon
are,
Balls, you can summon the one dragon.
but each set of Dragon Balls has a different dragon.
Yeah.
So the little ones that are on Earth have like a little dragon that is like Snakey. And then the big ones that are on Namek, sorry, this is going way into nerd territory. The big ones on Namek have this
Why
like
would you
beefy
apologize
dragon.
for that?
He literally has like biceps.
If you want to know more, you can watch Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
That is a much better use of your time than watching Dragon
I'm
Ball, like
not
straight
doing
up.
that. I do
Unless you're
not
like a
care.
diehard Dragon Ball Z fan,
Yeah,
I'm not going to
I
interrupt
mean,
your love. I'm
you do
just saying the
you.
Abridged is the only way I got through all those stories.
Yeah, you do you, but the abridged version, A, is fast and B is hilarious. So, yeah, so like, I don't know, I kind of, I mean, obviously, I have dragons everywhere. There's dragon there's dragon back there's an actual painting of Haku up there. There's dragons over here. There's a dragon up there. You can't see him. He's my Halloween dragon.
Know, my husband, when he asked me what we were
Halloween.
talking about this week, and I said we were talking about like our favorite dragons. He was like, Mushu. Is yours Mushu? I'm like, no. Don't.
Mushu.
Yeah, I'm like, why would you think that? I mean, Mush is fun, but there's so much more
Yeah.
going on with so many dragons.
Oh yeah.
He's fun and, infinitely quotable, but I don't know how much of that is the dragon and how much of that is Disney and how much of that is Will Smith.
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie
Yep.
Murphy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Eddie Murphy. What, why? Cut that out, Ember, cut that
I don't think we're gonna get sued.
No, I feel silly because I'm a Disney fan and I forgot, like, literally, my brain went bleh.
Right. Yeah, it happens. But I mean,
Yeah.
in Chinese culture, Japanese are like the super. Dragons are like the highest of the hierarchy in animals. Right, and I was looking up the origins of the word too, and we've been talking about how there's different types and everything, and sometimes they can be fuzzy, but I mean the word comes from like sea dragons and serpentine, and they're associated with water and a lot of different cultures. So I don't know where the
Yeah,
fuzzy comes in.
I don't, there's Norse dragons, there's Chinese dragons, there's European dragons, there's oh God,
I mean, it's fascinating
the
that they show up in every
name.
culture in some
Oh
form.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and part of it though, you have to wonder, it's like because they are so varied, you wonder how much of it is, a dragon shows up and how much of it is somebody from another culture with the language going, you're describing this huge great creature to me. I'm going to call it a dragon. Is that okay?
Oh, it's like I always like things oh, we have ahead. Called dragons, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of it people theorize because they couldn't explain dinosaur bones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? That's what I was going to say. Is like there's dinosaur bones all across the world. So like you find these giant bones, you're like, what is this monster? I need to come up with a story of like what this is and why it's here. So. Mm-hmm.
And so many of them would have had, like, long tails.
Yeah. Long tails, like, if somebody happened to find, like, a plesiosaur, but maybe not the flippers, maybe they just found the really long, that would explain. That would partially explain, like, you know, the Asian lore of them. But there's also...
I wonder if that's where the idea of the wings come from. Because somebody who would maybe. Be digging up bones and trying to actually put them together. Because like, now we know mm-hmm. how that works, right? Like have you all seen Alton Brown explaining how to cut a chicken up because you can use the dinosaur model? Because the
yeah. bones are the same. Because they're related.
Somebody was doing that and went, oh my god, it had wings.
Yeah, because, I mean, even as recently as like the 1800s, when they were putting together like the first T-Rex skeletons, they literally broke his back to have him be standing upright like that. Because T-Rexes actually are supposed to stand kind of like horizontal, not vertical. But yeah, it would make total sense if they found like these things that, you know, all they would find, they don't find the actual flipper parts. All they find is the bones that are going out into it. And it's like, oh, these look like bat wings. So, you know, anything's possible with our human imaginations and finding weird things.
Well, that's the difference between wyvern and dragon in some explanations. Because I found myself looking up that stuff when I was getting my tattoo done. Started on my back that will be finished soon because there's the guardians of the gates of the dreaming in Gaiman's Sandman lore, and like there's a dragon and a hippogriff, but there's also a wyvern, and I'm like, well, what the hell is the difference? And it's like having two legs or four legs plus wings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then that, you know, it's does that consistent. Count against, you know, the Asian dragons, which don't have wings at all, but you know.
Right. And sometimes no legs.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that that one of the theories about George and the Dragon, which George is the St. George from English folklore, is that he somehow, nobody is explaining how, he somehow was fighting a crocodile. And that's where the story came from, because it was like, oh, it's scaly and it's got a huge mouth full of teeth and, you know, this long serpentine tail. But, yeah, some people were like, maybe it was an alligator. And I'm like, okay, first of all, how did an alligator get into England? I think he was in England. Or maybe it was mid-Europe. I don't know.
Somebody picked one up as a baby, brought it back. It's like the hippos in the Amazon now.
Yeah.
They just go wild.
Rawr. Hippos are no joke, man.
Don't mess with hippos.
Don't mess with hippos.
Yeah, the St. George and the Dragon thing directly, it's another one of those things where Christianity decided to demonize something to have a common enemy when they were adopting everybody else's culture. Like, mm-hmm. Look, they have these stories they tell, but it's about a big serpentine thing. So we can say they're bad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it has leathery wings and claws. Obviously, it's satanic.
Yeah.
Evil.
Yeah.
So we'll write a story and saint a fictional person for killing a fictional thing.
Like, yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, they think George was an actual, like, person, but George was based on an actual person is what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. But just like they, you know, with the King Arthur myth, they were taking bits and pieces and then putting it together with the culture that they had mm-hmm. at that time, instead of culture way back when. So of course he would be in full plate with, like, you know, a spear and a sword. It's like, it's not knights. Knights didn't dress like that all the time. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm trying to remember. This conversation has reminded me of there is a creature in folklore that is a very, like, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but they basically described it like it had like leopard spots and hooves, and like the tail, was it the tail of a goat and like the head of a snake or something like that, and horns. And if you take all those to separate things and you think real hard about it, you realize that somebody was describing a giraffe. But since they were from the middle of Europe and had never ever seen a giraffe and didn't know what to call it, they were just describing it how they knew how. And some poor court, like, scribe was trying to draw this creature and was just like, here, this is obviously what you said. I'm trying to remember what creature.
I feel like there's a recount of an elephant that's very similar to that as well.
Oh, that sounds like the blind people trying, or the people, they're blind, they can only touch part of it, trying to describe what it was.
There's that one, but also, like, I thought, like, the first time, like, was it Romans? Or, like, the first time they saw elephants, like, they're just like, what the heck? This giant beast and horns coming out of its mouth and a snake on its face? What the heck?
Is that it?
No, snake on the face.
Did you know that the writers of How to Train Your Dragon actually created an entire language for the dragons?
Oh, that's so cool.
The language the dragons speak and How to Train Your Dragon is called Dragonese. And there's a whole universe of words. I'm going to be careful not to go down that rabbit hole. I love doing that kind of thing, like writing in a weird language like that and sending it to somebody. That's fun.
I can't. Is that what it is? Well, now it's going to bother me. Okay.
Yeah, I think the first time I found like dragons was like my dad has a huge D&D collection. So as a kid, I would look at like the covers of his dragon magazines, which had dragons or pretty fantasy pictures on them, or like I would go flip through his monster manual. So like I knew what dragons looked like before I saw Never Ending Story, and that's the, I think the main reason why it just stuck with me. I'm like, they can be fuzzy.
Oh, is this what it was?
Yeah,
it was the questing beast. It's literally called the questing beast.
Ah, oh,
okay.
So it has the head and neck of a snake, the body of a leopard, the haunches of a lion, and the feet of a hart, which is a deer. And its name comes from the great noise that it emits from its belly, a barking like 30 hounds questing.
Neat.
If you think real hard about it.
A giraffe. I have to get back to when the giraffe started to come close to us at mm-hmm. Animal Kingdom. We're just stuck there.
Yeah, we're like, hi, giraffes. How you doing?
Hi. Please don't eat us.
You are so tall. You're so tall. Have I told you how tall you are? Oh, back when we could go to Disney World.
I know.
It was fun. But yeah, so that was a tangent. I was just like, well, you know, if you think about it, I'm trying to think of other, like, equivalents that, you know, if somebody looked at this and they were like, I don't know how to describe this. So it's got this animal, and this animal. It's a dragon. And, you know, folklore is, like, the worst game of telephone.
And still, there are amazing similarities in mm-hmm. all different world cultures of these dragons. Like the images, the imagery from, you know, ancient. I mean, it's because stories were passed down, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's ancient pottery in Rome and Egypt.
Yeah, because you get, you know, the Roman kind of the Roman and Greek, like, just kind of pantheon of nasty critters, and they have like the Hydra, which is definitely a dragon, according to them, even though it's got 8 million heads. They had another one that I can't remember right now off the top of my head. They had several different creatures that were like, yeah, that's draconic. We call that a dragon.
Yeah.
So, any wrap-up thoughts about your favorite dragons? I
No,
mean,
dragons are cool.
keep doing what they're doing.
Now I have giraffes in the now I have giraffes on the brain.
Now you have giraffes on the
They're
brain.
distracted by giraffe dragons.
The giraffe questing beast. There's your tidbit of information. I am a font of useless folkloric information. That is my contribution for this podcast episode. Tell us, you know, comment to us. Tell us if you want me to give random folklore tidbits every episode. I'll do
Tell us what your
it.
favorite dragon is.
Yeah, that too. To get back on track. Thanks, Ray.
Finger guns.
So please comment with your favorite dragon, and you know, remember to give metaphorical snuggles to the greatest dragons, as it is Appreciated Dragon Day. So you can chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com, and you can also tweet to us at geekgrills. So what are you two most anticipating right now?
Oh, we didn't even talk about game dragons. Holy moly.
Oh yeah, so there's a whole thing with like D&D and all that
Yeah, we have
Tiamat.
users that are
You want to get
yep.
super nerdy. If
Time
you
out.
hey, it's another thing. If you want us to get super nerdy and talk about game dragons, we will come back and visit that. Just
We
let us
can
know.
do. Well, game creatures, holy moly. We
Yeah,
spend
game creatures.
a week
Just
on
we'll just
that.
pull out the book, the monster manual.
That would be interesting. So, speaking of dragons, I don't know. I guess it's not against terms of service, right? It's my back. I'm gonna show you my dragon that is.
Oh my goodness,
It's
that's
so
awesome.
I've got my Sandman stuff on there, but I'm finally getting the color. He will be blue, maybe some purple in there. Hopefully green eyes. So my friend Holden will be getting the. My tattoo finished up on Friday. I have a lot of hours into this tattoo. It was covering a tattoo, so it had to be certain dimensions to cover that. I didn't think I was a person who was gonna have, I wasn't a back piece person, and now I am. All in. So I will be getting my dragon finished. And I could talk about the representation for me that it is, but that's another show. The other thing is what Rob is printing for me. We got that wood filament, and he's going to make me a dice tower for all my gaming and like nerd needs. I miss playing D&D, but it'll hold me over to play with in the meantime. And I think it's almost the same print as the other one. It's just going to be a smaller scale because that thing was huge. And if you could see the details on it, it had the embossed, looked like it had shields on it and stuff. And on the back, it had what looked like vines on it. So I may give a go at doing some wood burning on this wood filament because you supposedly can. And so I'm excited about that as my next little craft project.
Cool, right?
No, I'm just planning on getting. I want to get Rebel done now that I got the paint. I picked up additional paint supplies over the weekend, so I just want to get those paintings done, and hopefully I'll have my studs so I can start studding the vest and look into getting some patches, because you can't have a punk jacket without patches.
I might have some extra ones left over from a certain character I used to play.
Excellent.
Yeah, And then as for me, I will continue the reupholstery fight. I'm either going to just buy the wood filler or see if my father has extra. He probably does in his shop somewhere. My God. It's like part of me is like, screw this project. And another part of me is like, I am going to be so proud of myself when I get done with this. I just have to push through and get to the end point. and then a little side note. I really shouldn't start another kind of craft. I really shouldn't, but I have been eyeing like dice molds and resin online. I've been doing research because I'm like, it would be neat to pour my own resin dice. That would be neat. But I don't know if I should start another craft. So we'll see where that goes.
Isn't it funny when you do crafts, people like, we don't do that to ourselves enough. People are always like, hey, have you ever done this? I bet you'd be great at this. Stop.
Enough.
Don't do that to me. I won't be able to help myself. I learned something interesting about upholstery today. Go ahead and share with you, because you were talking about the upholstery quick, is because, and from Bob Ross, because I was watching the Bob Ross Twitch stream, as I want to do on nice relaxing holidays. And the old, when you take apart old upholstery and it's got that black stuff in there, right? You know what that is?
What is it?
It's Spanish moss.
They used to fun!
Collect it when he lived in Florida when he was a kid. They would collect it and boil it and sell it to upholstery makers. And being that I've lived down in Florida where there is all that Spanish moss, and it's got those mites in it. I mean, which is, I imagine, why they boil it. Like, I made the mistake when I moved there and I didn't know any better and I was touching it. so, and now that I learned today that that's what that black stuff is in the upholstery, I'm so grossed out and want to throw away this chair I have.
But. Don't worry, all of the insides of that chair are, and the fabric is going away once I have like drawn out what I need from it. I'm just like, nope, I'm not reusing that. It's gross.
So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on January 25th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern.
And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/girls. Also, shout out to Abby, our newest patron. Yay!
Yes, you did join in November, and we're sorry we missed that.
Still newest patron. So.
Still newest patron.
And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. Also, you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word. So where can we find you, girls, on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and on you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. We'll be going on tomorrow on my channel, which is at 9 of 12 at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can find the Jen at the Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on twitch.tv/thegenplays, and find everything at thegensays.com.
Right.
You can find me on Instagram under Dapple Dame and on Twitch as Ray Aino. I swear I will actually put some videos up some point again. What about you, Linda?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's MISC. You can check out my website store at madcapm.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.